This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, full NFL this hour. We've got Jordan Nahani joining us from CBS Sports on a progressive guest line. Then we are going to go game by game on Sunday, all the way through into the weekend. We don't do predictions. We just give you, like, here's some points in this game that might be interesting and some of the points that may not be interesting. We kind of give you like a preview of all the games coming up. Jordan Nahani joining us on a Progressive Insurance guest line. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. Visit progressive.com. How are you, Jordan? Thanks for joining us this morning.
What's going on? Thanks for having me on the show.
You got it. All right. We've been kind of buzzing this week about C.J. Stroud. I think a lot of people are. When you evaluate him, when you look at him, what is he doing right? How is he having so much success on a rebuilding team that's now in a picture at 4-4?
Yeah, there's a couple things that stand out to me when I watch C.J. Stroud. I mean, first of all, just going back to what happened against Tampa last week, I think he's handling pressure pretty well. It seemed like the Buccaneers defense threw a lot of pressure his way. Sometimes it was successful in getting home, but there were other times where Stroud was able to escape out the side of the pocket, maintain his composure, look downfield, and make an accurate throw. I think that's something that really stands out when a rookie quarterback can complete that process. The other thing is he's throwing with anticipation, which I think is one of the best quarterback skills you can have, and it's very rare you see a rookie do it. Brock Purdy was another guy who I felt like as a first-year quarterback threw with great anticipation. But the other thing is that this guy is continuing to build confidence in himself, and I'm not talking week to week. I think you saw a clear progression of confidence in C.J. Stroud from the first quarter against the Buccaneers to the fourth quarter. When he took the field to lead a game-winning drive, he looked like he was in control all the way through. He made the throws he was supposed to make down the field. And when you're a defensive back and you miss your assignment on a guy like Tank Dell or Noah Brown, C.J. Stroud was able to take advantage of that. That's exactly what you want your quarterback to do.
On the flip side, let's stay within the conference. Buffalo's offense is slowing down. On one hand, you can go, all right, That can happen to teams, but do you see a larger thing going on in Buffalo as to why the offense isn't clicking like it was at the beginning of the season?
You know, it's tough. I feel like Josh Allen's been relatively inconsistent. I think he's thrown an interception in 4 or 5 straight games. He's the guy who is up there when it comes to the turnover total over the past couple seasons in the NFL. So when it comes to the Bills, I'm looking at them to not turn over the ball. I'm looking at them to orchestrate long, consistent drives. And then I still want more from the rushing game. I mean, it's ridiculous that we're in year 3 of Buffalo having 0 rushing offense. They didn't do anything in free agency other than the guy from the Patriots, right? I mean, James Cook had 20 yards last week. Latavius Murray had 4 yards. Josh Allen is still your best leading rusher. So I feel like teams are taking advantage of that. And then, I mean, there's problems on the other side of the ball as well. I mean, Buffalo's defense has been probably the main talking point as the Bills go through this losing streak. Now, I will point out that they did pick up Rasul Douglas from the Green Bay Packers at the trade deadline. I think he has a great shot of being the most impactful trade deadline acquisition in the NFL this season. The Buffalo hasn't missed the postseason in several years now, and I know they're on the outside looking in right now, and they got a tough schedule in front of them, but they have the talent on both sides of the ball to rebound.
The Kansas City Chiefs, it's hard to get any attention on the other side of the ball when Patrick Mahomes is the main guy. But how good is Kansas City's defense? Because people are saying it's the best Mahomes has ever had.
Yeah, I'm done talking about the Chiefs' offense. It's been the Chiefs' defense that's really headlined this team through the early parts of the season. I mean, consider this. They fell 5 of their 8 opponents to season low in points this season. I mean, the Chiefs' defense has been absolutely dominant. And that's so scary when you think about how this team with Patrick Mahomes is basically a perennial contender. Now he has the best defense that he's ever had in his young career. That just shows you that the Chiefs really do possess the wherewithal to go all the way this season. I think defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo has done a tremendous job with his group, especially when it comes to how he's utilizing his defensive backs. I mean, there's been certain games this year where those cornerbacks have really taken over games, and those are young talented players on the outside as well. So that's the reason why the Chiefs should be the favorites to win the Super Bowl. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes has definitely been solid. I think he had a really rough start to the season. But we all know at some point this offense is going to start hitting on all cylinders, and that's when the Chiefs are going to prove that they're the best team in the NFL.
Let's go to the NFC. The Dallas Cowboys had an opportunity and gave it away against Philadelphia to try to get into that end zone in that game against the Eagles. But what's the takeaway for Dallas? We get Philadelphia, but what's your takeaway on Dallas's season so far?
my goodness, Dallas had three scoreless drives in the fourth quarter that ended inside the Eagles' 30-yard line. They outgained the Eagles by 149 yards in that final quarter and still lost by 5 points. Now, when it comes to the Cowboys' playoff aspirations, I mean, they have a top-10 offense, the number three scoring offense, the number three defense, number six scoring defense. They are a solid team, right? But the question I keep asking myself is, are the Cowboys the same team they've been over the past few years, where they win plenty of regular season games, but they are not a candidate to put together a successful playoff run, right? That's to be determined. And that was kind of my takeaway from that game. I thought Dak Prescott played a great game, but when it came down to crunch time, the Cowboys were unable to come out on top. And so I think the Cowboys are going to make the postseason as a wild card, but I don't see any difference with this squad when it comes to their long-term success, that they're going to be able to make some kind of Super Bowl run. So that's my main takeaway. I don't think anything's changed for this Dallas Cowboys team, but they have a whole second half of the season to right their wrongs.
Jordan Dohany joins us, CBS Sports, talking some NFL on SportsMap Radio. The Miami Dolphins' inability to beat teams with winning records or major winning records, big deal, little deal? Because when you get to the playoffs, you're obviously playing teams with winning records.
Yeah, I'm usually not one to overreact to stats like that, but I'm totally overreacting to stats like that right now. I mean, the Dolphins are 0-3 versus teams currently above 500 this season, right? They had their chance to plant their flag against the Bills when the Bills' defense was healthy. That did not go well. They had a chance to upset the Eagles in primetime in Philly. They were unable to do so even after a pretty solid second-half run. Then, of course, they go over to Germany to take on the Kansas City Chiefs, and they only score, 14 points. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely a big deal. I think that the Miami Dolphins are definitely on fraud watch, if you will. I mean, I really want to like this Dolphins team. I think Mike McDaniel's my favorite coach in the NFL. I've kind of been dabbling in QAnon, if you will. The defense, you just got Jalen Ramsey back. The offense, as we know, has basically led every statistical category in the NFL through 9 weeks. But they've just been unable to win those big games, to win any kind of statement victory. So that's why I do think that, you know, yeah, I'll have Miami making the postseason. But when it comes to potentially hoisting the Lombardi when it's all said and done, I don't think the Dolphins have the wherewithal to do that.
How do you view the Pittsburgh Steelers offensively? Is it a Matt Canada problem? Is it a Kenny Pickett problem? Is it finally getting Deontay Johnson back? Is it Matt Canada on the sidelines? There's so many variables, but in the end, they don't score.
Yeah, I would say the rushing offense really got back on track over the past week, maybe the past couple weeks with Najee Harris, Jalen Warren. Those are two playmakers that I would certainly run my offense through. But at the same time, you have really talented guys like Deontay Johnson, who has totally been a breath of fresh air over the past couple weeks. George Pickens is another guy I feel like should be getting a lot of targets. That's a guy I want to semi-plan around if I'm Matt Canada. So to answer your question, I do think it's kind of a Matt Canada issue, and I think it hurts Pittsburgh that they seem very hesitant to part ways with him or maybe put him on notice. Hopefully that's something they're doing kind of behind closed doors. But the fans are right in wanting more production from their offense, because when I look at that offense on paper, I feel like they have enough to score more points. I think they're bottom five in the NFL in points per game. And when you have, you know, when you, Kenny Pickett, who's kind of had some ups and downs, he's definitely been more inconsistent as of late, but they have a solid wide receiving core. I already talked about the running backs. When Pat Freiermuth gets back, that's another weapon across the middle. The Steelers should be better than they are right now. So, yeah, I think you have to chalk it up to Matt Canada as an offensive play caller.
A team that beat Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, coming off a bye week, will play San Francisco this weekend. The Jags are a quiet 6-2. They've won five in a row. When you look at them, what are they doing right? What is the definitive reason why they're 6-2?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what to think of the Jaguars yet. I do think they're a very solid team. I think they're the best team in the AFC South, but they've won five straight games. But who did they beat, right? They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, the struggling New Orleans Saints, the Indianapolis Colts, the jet lag and injured Buffalo Bills in London, and then the inconsistent Falcons. Like, I don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars are world beaters by any means. But I will be forced to change my tune if they can upset the 49ers in Jacksonville this Sunday. But I'm high on the 49ers. I know that they're on a losing streak, but when you just compare these two teams, whether it's the coaching staffs, the offensive play calling, just the players on roster on both sides of the ball, I think the 49ers are legitimate contenders, while I've been hesitant to say the same thing about the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I view this as a get-right spot for Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, they're getting Deebo Samuel back. They may get Trent Williams back as well. The Jaguars are a solid team, but I think you have to keep in mind that they have the number 23 overall defense, the third worst passing defense. We talked about earlier in this interview, Brock Purdy throwing with that anticipation. I feel like that's something Kyle Shanahan can take advantage of on Sunday.
Jordan, always good talking to you, my friend. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks for joining us on a Friday, my friend. Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.
You got it. Jordan Nahani, CBS Sports, talking some NFL. I like you can just bounce around the league. Always like it. Just bounce around the league with some questions. Jacksonville is an enigma, right? I mean, like you said, who they really haven't beaten anybody. They're 6-2. I mean, you are what you are. You are 6-2. Nobody's taking there's no degree here. It's amazing how quiet they are. And I get when people say it's because they're Jacksonville. Yeah, I get it. But you know what? If they beat San Francisco this weekend, you're not going to be able to use that anymore. Right? If they are 7-2 with the win against the Niners, especially with Deebo Samuel back, it is a moment where you go, okay, now I got to wake up to the news that Jacksonville might be one of the premier teams in the AFC. I like what he said about the Dolphins. I like what he said about, listen, I don't like overreacting to stuff like this, but I am overreacting to stuff like this. They have to beat teams with winning records. Look, it's pointing out something that I think they can do. I don't know how they're not doing it.
Yeah, but putting them on fraud alert?
Fraud alert. Yeah, 6-3.
But, I mean,
you got the number one offense in the NFL.
But he's right.
They're right.
I mean,
when push comes to shove, can you beat Kansas City in the playoffs? Can you beat Cincinnati in the playoffs? Heck, can you beat Buffalo if you were to run into them in the playoffs? Can you beat Jacksonville? If that answer is no, if we don't feel like you can, then what's the point on looking good against the Raiders?